couple of years ago, probably about 5 years ago now, my classmates and I, who were all ordained in the same year, but for different dioceses all around the country, we met for a little reunion, and we went to visit one of our classmates who was in a parish in the Diocese of Albany in New York. And so we got a place, a little lodge or hotel or something. We rented some rooms up in the Catskill Mountains, and one of the things that we did during that week was that we went to a mountain and we went on this hike. And I am not a big fan of heights, okay? But I went on this hike, and for the most part, it was fine, right? And for the most part, everything went very smoothly. There's a couple moments, though, when looking out, and it's a shame, right, that I have this fear of heights, because looking out over these beautiful views, and you have some of my classmates who don't suffer from this, so they were able to go out closer to the edge and get this great view of the valley below and all this kind of stuff. And I, just for my own comfort, right, something was going on, right? I would get closer to the edge, and I would start to maybe feel a little bit dizzy. I would start to feel a little bit like, okay, I need to back away from this. So I would just stand farther towards some place where I could just look, basically, at the ground, right? And I would occasionally, I'd glance up, and I might take a photo and look out over this view, but I start to feel like, okay, something's a little bit off here, and then I have to kind of refocus myself on something that was closer. And, you know, we go up a couple different places on this mountain, again, one of these little flatter areas with this beautiful view, and a couple places where the trail sort of narrows a little bit, and you get these steep drop-offs on the side. And so very similarly, right, what did I have to do in those moments? I had to say to myself, okay, I need to do is just focus on what is immediately here, right? If I look over to the left, I'm going to start to feel a little bit odd. If I look over to the right and see this, I'm going to start to feel a little bit unsteady. So what do I need to do to go forward with this hike? I have to just set my gaze in front of me and just go one foot in front of the other. There was no stopping, right? There was no turning around. There was no going back down the way that we came. So just to go forward one step at a time, looking only directly ahead of me. I think about that, you know, it's almost like, you remember those old cartoons with the Roadrunner and the coyote, right? Where the coyote, the Roadrunner will run off this cliff, and he runs off, and the coyote runs after him, and everything is fine, right? Everything for the coyote is absolutely fine until he has that moment where he looks down, and all of a sudden he realizes there's nothing there underneath him, and that's when he falls. But as long as he kept his eyes up and forward, he was okay. He was okay in that moment. Think about this, because what do we hear about Jesus and his journey? This is kind of getting towards the end of his public ministry, and we get this great phrase. It says, the time for his being taken up was fulfilled, so he resolutely set his face to journey to Jerusalem. He resolutely set himself, he set his face, another translation, another way to say this, he set his face like flint for Jerusalem, right? That it was going to be like a stone. He was looking towards Jerusalem, and that was the place, that was the destination. There was nothing that was going to distract him from that journey, right? Nothing was going to distract Jesus from that journey. And we see there was kind of a little attempt at a distraction there by the disciples, because they didn't quite understand what was going to happen. And so they say, okay, well, we got to pass through Samaria, and so we're going to try and stay in this town. Oh, this guy's going to Jerusalem? No, we don't want him. We don't want to welcome him here because he's going to Jerusalem. And so James and John, very fascinating, right? Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? How dare they? How dare they stand in your way? How dare they stop you? How dare they not welcome you? Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume their whole village because of this? What does Jesus say? No, we're just going to go on. We're going to go forward. We're not going to get distracted by this. We're not going to get caught up with this. Neither are we going to allow ourselves to be consumed by anger, to be consumed by hatred, to be consumed by any of these kinds of things. We don't have time for that because I have to go to Jerusalem. That's where my goal is. So as hurtful as it might have been, as difficult as it might have been to hear, we will not welcome you here, he says, that's fine. I will keep going. We remember another place in the Gospel of Luke, right, where he sends off the 72 to go into the towns and the villages and to preach the good news of the gospel. And what does he tell them? He says, look, wherever you go, if there's somebody who welcomes you, go ahead and stay there. But if you are not welcomed, shake the dust off of your feet and go on to the next town. You don't have time. You don't have time to be distracted. You don't have time to be consumed by this kind of hatred or anger or disappointment or rejection. You don't have time for that. There is something else you have to be doing. There's a great urgency about the life of Jesus Christ. There's a great urgency about the life that he calls his disciples to. He says, you have a mission. He says, I have a mission, and I cannot be held back. It goes on in this gospel passage that we just heard from, right? All these other kinds of things which echo back to that prophet Elijah who calls, who's told by God, go ahead and call Elisha. And he goes and he calls him and he says, okay, that's fine, good, that's all well and good. Let me go back first and say farewell to my family. And Elijah says, if you want to go back to your family, I'm not stopping you, right? But I'm going onwards. This call has come from God, and if you're going to follow it, then you have to come now and you have to leave all of that behind. And Elisha gets it, right? He takes the yoke on the oxen, he chops it up, he turns it into a fire, he slaughters the oxen, and he makes of them an offering, and he feeds all of those servants. Why does he do this? Because now there's nothing for him to come back to. He offers all of that up to God. He says, okay, if I'm going to go out on this journey, let me make sure that I will offer up everything and anything that could hold me back, that could tie me down to this previous life that God is calling me out from. Jesus encounters a few people on this journey. It's the same thing, right? Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Look, I'm not going to have a place to lay my head to rest. I don't have a home. I don't live in a palace, okay? If that's what you think you're signing up for, some kind of really nice and comfortable lodgings and situations here, you're in the wrong place. That's not what's going to happen. Okay, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. Let the dead bury their dead. You have a different mission. You have to go preach the kingdom of God. Leave that behind. Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and say goodbye to my mother and father. If you set your hand to the plow for the kingdom of God and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. This is a very challenging teaching of Jesus. It's a very challenging teaching. And a lot of times we might like to try and soften it for ourselves and rationalize it away and give ourselves excuses, right? Well, but I can hold on to a little bit of the things in my past life. Maybe I can sort of like have one leg in my past life and then I can just sort of maybe hop forward a little bit and follow Jesus on one foot, right? Maybe as I'm walking down this road, yeah, the road here, I know that I should focus ahead, but there's other things that are here on the left, there's other things that are here on the right, and maybe I can just turn my gaze here and there from time to time, and that'll be okay. I mean, eventually I'll catch up to where Jesus is asking me to go. Yeah, sure, maybe I can run off the cliff, right? But maybe it's nice to look down because it's good to see this great view and all these different kinds of things, right? Jesus says, if you set your hand to the plow and look back, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. He calls us to a new life. He calls us to a new life, one that is very focused, one that is lived with a great amount of urgency, one that always goes forward. Again, that's hard for us to do. It's hard for us to hear that challenge because we'd rather wait. We'd rather stay behind. We'd rather kind of maybe hedge our bets a little bit about how far forward should I go with this Jesus? How much should my life really have to change if I'm going to follow him? And St. Paul tells us, right, that we have been set free. For freedom, we have been set free. And so we no longer want to put back that yoke of slavery. Certainly not that slavery to sin. Yeah, that's a big place where a lot of times we get bogged down because we tell ourselves, well, I know, right? I'm working on it, but I guess it's okay if I still do this sometimes, right? Maybe a little bit of it isn't really so bad. After all, how could it possibly be hurting anybody else, right? God calls us to a life that leaves sin behind, that leaves it in our past. And so when we encounter it in the moment, when we encounter temptation in the moment, we should remember that our eyes should be fixed forward, that our eyes should be fixed forward on following Christ, not to get distracted by our hurts or by our the way that we have been hurt by others, not getting distracted or consumed by our anger, not getting distracted by any other kinds of temptations that we might face. When those come up, we say to ourselves, Jesus set his face resolutely towards Jerusalem, because that was his journey. So I have to keep my eyes fixed forward and I have to plow through this. I have to keep going. I can't get caught up in it. God invites us onto this journey, and though it is challenging for us to hear this message, it is the one that gives us real freedom. It gives us freedom because Real freedom is when we have what Kierkegaard called purity of heart. Purity of heart, he said, is to will one thing. Purity of heart is to will one thing. If my will is to follow Jesus Christ, then if I leave those other things behind, if I'm willing to keep my eyes fixed forward on what is in front of me, to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, to keep my eyes fixed on his cross, to keep my eyes fixed on the salvation and the glory that he sets before me, then I can leave those other things behind, because my heart will be directed one way only, right? To do that, though, we need his grace. We need his help, because it's not easy for us to do. It's not easy for us to keep our eyes fixed in the right direction. So he offers himself to us. He says, okay, if you need help keeping your eyes fixed forward, if you need help, I have you, right? I will give you my very self. I give you myself in this Eucharist. I give you my body, my blood, my soul, my divinity. I give you everything that I am and that I have. Why? So that it might be my life that lives in you. So that when we encounter our own weakness, when we encounter our temptation to keep our eyes, to turn our gaze somewhere else instead of fixed on the Lord, we say, no, God, I've received you. I've received you into myself. You are welcome in my very heart. And so you direct my eyes. You direct me where you want me to go. You enliven my steps and make me go one foot in front of the other where it is that you want to take me. Because that's where I know true freedom will be found. That's where I know that there will be love. That's where I know that there will be the goodness of your resurrection, of an end to sin, an end to death, an end to sorrow, an end to anger, an end to temptation. That is found by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. He'll be lifted up before us in just a few moments. We keep our eyes fixed on him, and we ask for that grace then as we leave right out through these doors, maybe through this side door here, whichever door we're going to leave from. We keep ourselves looking forward towards Jesus Christ and how it is that he asks us to live and to love.